I think we're good. Okay. I kind of struggled with, you know, how to hone everything in on this message when I entitled it The Goodness of God, and that just exploded in my mind. All kinds of different scriptures, all kinds of different verses, all kinds of different wonderful, precious promises that he says about us. But I'll just start. God is so good all the time. When I think about the goodness of God, I get stuck with how many wonderful things that he says about us. When we speak God's word in faith, confidence, and authority, it's like God himself is speaking through us. In Mark 11:23, it says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes on what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him." In this passage, the mountains are things in your life that cause you to stumble. But praise God, he spoke the world into existence and has given us the ability to speak to the mountains in our own lives, and they have to move. When you speak to the mountains in your life, they have to obey you because of the authority you've been given, and the mountains themselves are made out of words. We can have confidence in speaking the word because in Philippians 4:3, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you receive Christ and are born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new." In Ephesians 5:12, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." When you go to God with any and everything that is going on in your life, there is nothing that escapes his purview. There is nothing too big or too small. God cares about all the little things that we care about. If it seems important to us, then it is important to him. I was reminded of a couple months ago when me and Tucker went fishing. We were both fishing. We had a great time. I think I had caught like 3 bass, 9 bluegill. Tucker had caught like 8 bluegill. And, we're sitting there fishing. We're about 15 feet apart. And I just, casually say to him, because as I had caught my bass, he had never caught one. And he told me, "Man, I really want to. And I said, praying to God isn't going to hurt at all, So it wasn't even 2 minutes later, he's, reeling one in, all excited, just beside himself. And when he came up to me, he said that as he was praying to the Lord told him specifically when to pull, when to yank, when to reel, everything in real time. And he had this glow on him, about him. And I was like, that's awesome, And he said it wasn't just catching the fish, but it was that God answered his prayer in real time, like instantaneously. It was a couple of minutes, but it was a pretty amazing story. The Holy Spirit inside him told him exactly when, to pull in, to yank, to do whatever, which, was amazing. Not only to have his prayer answered, but to have the creator of heaven and earth answer his prayer exactly when he needed it. It was utterly amazing that Tucker experienced what God's word says. He had faith in catching the bass, and the Lord answered him. All of us, everyone here, can boldly enter the throne room of grace and ask for what we have need of because of the authority given to us when Christ took our place on the cross. When we ask God for things in prayer, God doesn't see us. He sees the sinless, spotless, undefiled blood of the Lamb that covers our brokenness. In Hebrews 9:14, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" We have the same Spirit inside of us who raised Christ from the dead. There are a myriad of reasons in the natural a person might not feel worthy to enter the throne room of grace and ask for whatever they have need of, but we serve a supernatural God. The Lord has given us eternal encouragement and strength because he loves us so much more than we can fathom. In fact, while we were sinners, he sent his one and only Son to die in our place. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Love is not God's personality, but God is love. God's love towards us is pure, far above and beyond what our minds can comprehend. God forgives all our sins, past, future, and present. This means we are absolutely, positively worthy to stand in God's presence without any fear or condemnation. God completely loves and delights in us. In Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. No matter how undeserving we may feel, we find our identity in Christ and have power solely because of who the Father is. There are multiple places in God's Word that reflect the love that he has for us. There are so many that speak of his loving nature, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. God's Word will never contradict itself either. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and will he not make it good? God's word will never return void, and it always accomplishes its purpose. In Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. In Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. God is always near. He never leaves us, no matter what happens. We can get it wrong over and over and over and over again, and he lovingly draws us back to himself. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God who is far off? He is gracious to us beyond all that we can understand. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. And in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's love for you is never based on your performance or what good or bad things you have done. Praise God for that, because if we got what we deserved, we would all be in a pretty bad spot. God doesn't validate you like people do. People will validate you based on what you can do for them or what you have done for them. God loved you before you were ever even born. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. One sec. We have all been made in God's image. We have all been bought with the highest price. When we've been blood bought and cleansed by Jesus' precious blood, everything Jesus endured on the cross and every precious drop of blood that was spilt was for you. I really struggled with that for a long time. I thought he came for everyone else, but he didn't come for me. You know, I understood that he came and died on the cross for everyone else, but for some reason I couldn't personalize that for myself. It didn't make sense that he would do that for me. It took a long time. It took, reading his word and getting more wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him that I realized that he would have went through it all for me alone. Despite all the things that you have done or haven't done, God will never love you any more than he does right now. His love doesn't change. God does not change and is no respecter of persons. God will provide every person with the opportunity to receive the blessings available through his plan of salvation. You are accepted and beloved. You are more than enough right now. Jesus didn't perform miracles and do amazing things for acceptance. He didn't care what anyone thought of him. He did what he saw his Father do. He was more worried about doing the will of the Father who had sent him. If you settle this deep down in your heart that God approves of you and loves you more than you can imagine, it will change you. When you know that God accepts you, people's opinions will become a whole lot less significant. People will no longer be able to validate and take away what they could never give you in the first place. We need to know and receive our validation from God on a daily basis. The most people in your life cannot accept you unconditionally because half the time they don't even accept themselves. The love that God has, the acceptance, is beyond anything or anyone else. In Romans 8:39, it says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the enemy loves to try to trip us up daily with things from our past, or, you know, how could God love you, the things that you've done, this, that, and the third. It is also vitally important in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we demolish arguments and every pretension that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. If I have a thought and it doesn't line up with God's word, I cast it down. It's not always easy, but it can be done. If I have a thought, I'll say, if it doesn't build me up, if it doesn't edify me, if it doesn't strengthen or encourage me, it's probably not from the Lord. It's sometimes hard to keep your mind fixed on the things above, but every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variable turn. We need to remind ourselves of all the good things, the precious promises, and the love that God lavishes on us all. In Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we could be holy and blameless in his sight. Also in Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us all." Ephesians 1:18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe." I think Ephesians is a wonderful chapter. I pulled quite a few verses from there, but Ephesians 2:4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I don't have enough time in the day or the rest of the year to recount all of them. God's promises of redemption and enduring love are so glorious, yet here are just a few more. My prayer is that we remind ourselves of these promises as many times as we can, and I hope that we find all the wonderful things that God has to say about us in his word. He gifted us so many because he is, by nature, not only a promise maker, but a promise keeper. God longs to draw you ever near to him and build a relationship and pour out blessings on you that can't be explained any other way. In Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us." I also, I looked up many different versions of this, but I found one that I think says it a little bit better. In the Passion Translation, it says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He may achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination." It's awesome. That is an incredible statement. I'd like to think that I have a pretty good imagination, but it pales in comparison to God. He's waiting for you to pray, and to pray big. He knows what you're going to say before you're even going to say it, but he still wants you to ask and be specific. In Exodus 9:16, "But I have raised you up for this purpose, that I may show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." God has placed a call on all of our lives. We still have a job to do while we're here passing through this short time we call life here on earth. Compared to eternity, it's a vapor in the wind. I love this verse because I love the idea of lifting God's name, not in my power, but in his power, all for his glory. And, excuse me, drying up. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for I am the Lord your God, and I am with you wherever you go. The creator of heaven and earth and everything in existence, who knows all and is in all, is with you wherever you go. God has called us to do amazing things. I encourage all of you to spend time in prayer with the Lord in the secret place and find out what that means for you. Take the focus off the what-ifs and ask God to fill you with His courage and His strength. Remember that you have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you to lead and guide and direct your path. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And in Romans 8:31 and 32, God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us. How will He not freely give us all things? God is not sitting on the throne of heaven ready to strike us down with a lightning bolt like someone tried to portray, like He's just some evil person ready to strike you down. That's not the God we serve. God is love, and He loves you. I can't even explain how much. That agape type of love, it's not self-serving, not self-seeking. It's incredible. You know, it's incredible the things that He's done for us. And just to acknowledge that is a wonderful thing. You know, I hope that even just a couple of verses that I've laid out today, if you would speak those verses over yourself every day, it would change your life. God is championing for all of us on our behalf. The good things He has outnumbers the granules of sand on any given beach. And lastly, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Well, that went a lot quicker than I anticipated, but yeah, that's what I have, you know.